Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. Finance is already grappling with a growing talent shortage that's only set to worsen. As reported by Mark Maurer in the Wall Street Journal, the number of U.S. accounting graduates with either a bachelor's or master's degree dropped 7.4% from 2021 to 2022. And this is the largest drop since 1994 to 1995, according to a review of the data from the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. This is leaving companies struggling to fill essential roles today. With a shrinking talent pool and Gen X professionals nearing retirement, the urgency to address this gap is greater than ever. Here to discuss how this shortage might affect everyone from Fortune 500 companies to emerging startups is Mark Maurer, reporter for the Wall Street Journal's CFO Journal team. Mark has reported extensively on this topic and also writes about corporate finance, accounting, auditing, and regulation of companies. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a little bit about your background and your role at Wall Street Journal. And maybe you could talk a bit about things that you've been reporting on lately and what are some of the key trends that you're seeing?
Sure. I'm a reporter on the Wall Street Journal's CFO Journal team. We cover all things corporate finance. I tend to focus more on accounting, auditing, and related regulation. I often write about the big four accounting firms, and I look at how they're navigating certain challenges. So some like the big stories or themes recently have been private equity money has been pouring into accounting firms. And right now there are careful efforts to avoid tripping independence rules. There is also a lot of discussion around the shortage of accountants, which I know we're going to get into. There are kind of new paths to the CPA certification that have been popping up. The shortage has been sort of a key theme for me over the last couple of years. At the same time, growth in consulting businesses for these firms has been slowing down. In some cases, the firms have been responding to this by laying off workers and sometimes even partners. In order to kind of offset the declines in demand. So it's been interesting to see some of these trends play out over time. And in some cases, they're going in, you know, unpredictable directions. EY, for example, which is one of the big four accounting firms, was planning to split up its audit and advisory businesses for a while. And then last year, it scrapped those plans. That was just one example of kind of the surprising twists and turns of the accounting beat.
So you've talked about the accounting shortage, and you've written about that quite extensively. What are you hearing are some of the key reasons for the sharp decline in CPA candidates and further, even university enrollments?
There are several factors at play. I would say the biggest one is pay disparity. The entry-level salaries for accounting jobs are generally lower than, say, those roles in technology and investment banking and other areas of business. And, you know, students are weighing kind of what's the right, you know, career path for them. They might pick a career that not only pays better, but also maybe sounds a little more exciting. So the question has been kind of what's the selling point? And that's something that a lot of these kind of young potential accountants are weighing. There are also extensive requirements to be a CPA. That can be a deterrent for some. It can be burdensome in terms of both the cost and the time. I hear from a lot of readers on the 150 credit hour requirement to become a certified public accountant in the U.S. So some prospective students as well as CPAs throughout their careers have been critical of this because it requires a master's degree or additional college credits to become a CPA. That's on top of a bachelor's degree, a passing grade on the CPA exam, and 1 year of work. So right now, like, students are confronted with this question of, do I want to jump through all the hoops and spend a lot of money and then get a job that pays less than my peers who also are working in the business world? They're doing the math and it's not always adding up.
With this sharp decline that we've been seeing in recent years, what are you hearing has been the impact both on the firms as well as companies that rely on this talent?
I would say that small and mid-sized companies are experiencing this shortage more head-on than, say, a large corporation. But they are, you know, facing it. And in some cases, they've needed to raise salaries. And in other cases, they've needed to seek temporary help to fill out their finance teams. Accounting firms have, you know, some of them have turned away work. Many of them have offshored work. That's, you know, been part of a broader trend. And it's been happening as the shortage has become even more acute. So companies and accounting firms have had to think about what's the right plan here. And I expect we'll get into this at some point, but like digitization and automation, it may help, but it isn't expected to fill the gap, at least not entirely.
So it's interesting, you know, we've got fewer young people coming into the profession. And then we've also got another challenge, which is this looming retirement of our Gen Xers, which is going to take more talent out of the pool. And so this problem isn't going to solve itself anytime soon. This is going to be an ongoing issue that companies are going to have to face. You've written that you've talked to many people that are also well into their careers and are thinking about a change. Can you tell me a bit about what you're hearing there?
We've heard a range of frustrations, concerns that people who have been working in the field have about this work and this career that they've chosen. They talk about the salaries being low, but not just that. Tasks, the work is often mundane. Depending on where they're working, the kind of work they're doing, they might burn out. And there's also this looming threat of technology like generative AI that's kind of hovering around and kind of making them, you know, question whether this is a long-term career. What's this job going to look like in, you know, 5 to 15 years? And also, I guess another theme that has come up in speaking to these accountants is the idea that this work is not necessarily meaningful to certain people. And again, it varies based on maybe the type of work they're doing and how long they've been doing it and a variety of things. But, you know, I've spoken to some accountants who were, you know, considering doing a total 180, going into medicine, going into nursing. It's not that life-work balance is far superior, but it may maybe provide more of that value that they're looking for in their work.
And it's interesting because, you know, I think at the end of the day, we all want to be doing something that we feel is meaningful, and that we're being appreciated for the work that we're doing. And it sounds like, you know, as professionals who really want to see this profession continue on and thrive, it's our responsibility to lean in and try to solve, because some of these things, you know, I think they are something that we can tackle. When I think about being seen within our organizations, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about the fact that we need to move from back office to front office and really lead the charge when it comes to being more strategic and leaning into helping inform better business decisions and companies that function better and aligning across the business. And so when I think about that kind of work, to me, it's such an exciting profession to be part of, and one where we don't have to just be in the back and not seen. But I do think sometimes as leaders, we can allow that to happen to maybe various parts of the team, or we don't realize that they're feeling that way. And we have to help, you know, really live it and have people feel that they get to work on those meaningful projects and try to free them up so that the work they're doing, they can see and can those dots, because really, whatever their company's mission is, we are such a critical element of helping that company realize that mission that we're trying to achieve. But somehow along the way, that's getting lost. And that's on managers to start to try to figure out how to close that gap and, you know, shine a light. I think one of the other things is we tend to sometimes be a little more introverted and not always being front and center and shining a light on the things we're doing. And so that, you know, can at times, I think, backfire on us in that then we don't feel seen because others aren't quite aware. It is easy to sometimes take for granted some of the things. You know, people don't call you up on a Friday to say, thank you for paying me today. I'm so glad you got it right. But certainly if you don't get it right and employees don't get paid, that is a very impactful thing to the business and you hear about that one. And so we have to remember that and make sure that, you know, people realize for those jobs that sometimes aren't seen that they really are valuable and wildly impactful to the business. And on the point of impact, what are you hearing are some of the broader implications of this shortage on both Fortune 500 companies as well as smaller companies as they grapple with this?
Well, you noted how important accounting and finance department is to a business. You know, it's crucial for managing financial operations, the internal controls, financial reporting. And we've seen that the impact of the shortage actually start to show up in financial statements. So some of the dots being connected that there are kind of real life implications on the corporate side of things when there aren't enough accountants to do some of this work. I've done some reporting about how there have been companies in recent years that have cited like a lack of accounting personnel as a reason for a material weakness in their business tied to their financial reporting. And in some of those cases, businesses saw like a moderately higher rate of turnover among CFOs after that, which is something I've also looked into. But there have been some bigger company names than we typically see reporting these weaknesses. Advance Auto Parts and Tupperware Brands being two of them. Ones that you wouldn't expect to, not have enough accounting folks. Now, to be fair, in some of these cases, like these companies are dealing with other financial challenges. So it's not strictly an accountant shortage issue. But I'd say in the case of these two companies, they did delay their filings in the past year, and they cited insufficient accounting personnel as a key reason for that.
And that can have major implications for a business in terms of its value, it's the perception that folks have about it. So, it's interesting because I can even say for myself, I don't think I was fully appreciating the magnitude of what was happening. And I've started to hear from other people that I know in other businesses about situations where they can't even get their tax returns filed on time or their financials on time because of the shortages that are being felt at the firm, especially for small businesses where you may be relying more on some of these external firms to help you out with these things. And yet, similarly, if you can't get those items done, it could affect your lending with your banks. It can affect your ability to get more lending. It can affect your shareholder rights. And it can trigger some pretty real and serious implications, even hampering the ability for your company to grow. And so this isn't a small impact that's just contained to the accounting department. This has a business-wide potential impact.
Up until this point, I think investors maybe saw some headlines, but didn't take it so seriously. But then, seeing that major companies are reporting weaknesses because of the shortage, I think it got real for some of the folks that invested.
When you've been talking with folks about what the role is that government and education institutions can play in helping to address this, what are you hearing on that front?
This is an area where there has been some development recently. I mentioned the 150 credit hour issue earlier. A handful of states like Minnesota and others have been working to get new legislation passed. And, there were mixed results on that. And national accounting groups for a while were pushing back on the opposition to the 150 credit hour issue. They were kind of standing behind it. But as the shortage worsened, that tune has changed. And I think a major example of that was that just in September, the AICPA, which is an advocacy group, and the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy, which represents 55 U.S. boards, put out a proposal that really for the first time showed that these national groups were in favor of a new option, an alternative to the 150 credit hour rule. This proposal lays out the option for CPA candidates to use an additional year of work experience instead of schoolwork to demonstrate professional and technical skills. It will be evaluated on certain competencies. So there's a lot more part of this proposal, but the public has until December to weigh in on this, and the states are each looking at these provisions carefully. And even at the same time, several states are moving ahead with their own plan. California, Minnesota, as I mentioned, is trying to re-up its efforts. Arkansas, South Carolina. So I think we're going to see early next year when legislative sessions begin again in some of these states, that more of them are proposing changes. Some of those changes are going to be aligned with what the AICPA and NASBA have put out. Some will not. But I think we're going to see more activity happen around this. And I think there's been more momentum in trying to find an alternative in an effort to combat the shortage than we've seen in some time.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Venna, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Venna, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Venna lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at VennaSolutions.com.
More momentum in trying to find an alternative in an effort to combat the shortage than we've seen in some time.
And so that really does underscore the fact that there is starting to be widespread acknowledgement that there's a problem when it's being addressed at that level with these new ideas. Now, when I think about the problem that you're describing, it is both attracting as well as retaining talent. And so then, of course, companies need to lean into this to also be part of the solution. What are you seeing in terms of some of the more successful companies that are, what are they doing to help with this attraction and retention issue?
I don't know if I could speak to an individual success rate at certain firms, but I would say that we've seen companies and accounting firms investing in upskilling, particularly accounting firms have been really ramping up their training programs to expand the duties of accountants, really modernize that role. Technology is becoming a greater part of it. That role doesn't need to go away. It just can perhaps be enhanced. I think that's the case that a lot of these firms are trying to lay out, that there can be more room for strategic thinking. And some of those mundane tasks that I mentioned, like, that accountants often complain about, that doesn't need to be a part of their job, but their job can, gain new components upon training.
It's interesting you talk about that with the new components. You mentioned the burnout before. And so for businesses, it's a careful balance of trying to find the new and exciting work and eliminating that mundane so that it doesn't just become new and a pile up that starts to make people feel like they're getting underwater.
Right. In addition to just making the job seem more fun and present day, or even futuristic, there's also the need for accountants to be compensated for maybe taking on those additional skills. And there is that gap, as I mentioned, with relative to other industries. So I think some of the maybe more successful companies have also boosted salaries for its existing employees and also for those that it's trying to recruit.
Well, it's great to hear that there are some companies leaning into some new thinking, trying out some different things, maybe not super innovative, but I also think, getting back to something I touched on before, helping connect those dots to the meaningful work and underscoring the why behind some of the work we do. Getting the month end closed on time doesn't sound super exciting, but having timely reporting that informs quicker business decisions and investment decisions is impactful. And so even in helping people understand why some of the things that we're doing matter, and have positioning it as more meaningful, whether it's those projects they get to work on that are more exciting because you're freeing up the time from the mundane, and how that drives business outcomes, that partnership with the business that we get to do, which it is exciting and energizing when you get to work with people, not just in finance, but across the business to solve real business problems. That's the fun stuff. And I do think we have to start making it more fun.
I'm curious, what's been your experience with the shortage? To what extent you're seeing it in your business, and how have you been working to respond?
Well, it's interesting because I don't think it's been as acute where I am now. We hire a lot of accountants at Venna because of the space that we're in. We're selling to the office of the CFO. But we certainly, that war for talent that was happening, and I think everyone was talking about it, I think what's potentially happened in all of this is that war for talent that in some places has dissipated, for us, it's continued on, but it's likely more linked to some of the things that you're talking about in terms of the supply-demand equation that is specific to this. And so, but we've certainly seen when we're hiring for new roles, it is sometimes hard to find folks, especially some of the really specialized areas. I think about for payroll individuals can be quite challenging. Internal controls, tax, people who have experience doing those things that's practical to come into the business, that can definitely be hard. And you have to really work hard to differentiate yourself as an employer to help people see, why would I want to come and work for you with your company's mission, and what is this going to look like for me? And then on the retention side of things, like I said, some of that war for talent hasn't quite eased up. And so you are always, I think you're always competing for your talent and needing to be mindful that, you know, these are very skilled individuals. They're gaining great experiences while they're working for you, which makes them very attractive out in the market. I think we're lucky that we're a mid-sized company. And so people can see here that there's enough resources to get things done, but not so many that I don't get involved in lots of more exciting projects, and I can really roll up my sleeves and get in it. And so, you know, I think that helps us, but we have to be very intentional about setting out career paths and understanding where people want to go and the types of experiences that they want to gain, and looking to open those doors to try to make sure they stay. And the burnout issue is always top of mind. There's no question we work in a world that's very seasonal in nature, and there are crunch times, and it is hard to make those crunch times go away. When it is a quarter end, you have to get things closed timely. You have to get your reporting ready for your board. But we do try to acknowledge, hey, there's the busy times. When we have a chance to catch our breath, let us catch our breath. Let's make sure we're taking our vacations, or we're carving out time for the project work, because we really, every part of the business is riding a different wave of seasonality that we want to be really mindful of. And it's not one wave of seasonality across all finance. I think that's been the other thing that I've really come to realize is FP&A might be on a different timeline than payroll, than your folks that are in the controller's role. And so leaning in and understanding what that looks like for each part of the organization, and when we can help them get downtime to recharge and help them find time to work on those projects that move the business forward that are really exciting as well.
Well, in addition to the seasonal work, you know, one thing that has come up when I've spoken to accountants is, you know, I mean, at least one common trajectory is that people in the field might start their careers at an accounting firm, they burn out, and then they maybe move in-house at a company for, you know, a less hectic life, but ultimately maybe it's less thrilling work. So there are trade-offs throughout. I mean, some folks might thrive on kind of, yeah, that seasonal rush, particularly exciting time, and then the downtime. Others might want it to be more balanced out.
And now one of the things that I think can help with that for, well, businesses and in the firms is technology, you know, the right technology to try and especially eliminate some of those more mundane tasks. But you've written about how, you know, the impact of technology and what you're hearing on technology. Are you seeing that being talked about more as an opportunity or a threat to this profession?
I would say that it's a bit of both. The companies see it as an opportunity to arm accountants with new skills, whereas there are some accountants who are, I think, more concerned that there could be a risk to their, you know, their job security. Are they safe doing their job long term?
Well, and it's interesting on that one, you know, because I've asked this question myself, even as I think about what does the future look like. And somebody recently said to me, and it's really stuck in my head, they said, AI, as an example, AI is not going to replace you, but an AI-enabled person will replace you. And so that, you know, really did get me thinking in terms of, you know, where is the opportunity in that, which I think there is an opportunity. I don't think it's going to be that the technology is ever going to replace the profession, but we have to be willing to embrace it and adapt to it, to leverage it for benefit. Do you foresee any structural changes to the profession as a result of this talent shortage?
I'm not sure as a result of the shortage, but I believe that a lot of the industry consolidation among the accounting firms that we've seen in part has been aimed at better recruiting and retaining personnel. We've seen a range of structural moves among primarily mid-sized accounting firms, whether it's selling a stake to private equity or doing an ESOP deal or a merger of equals, you know, with a similarly sized firm. These are efforts to meet growing capital needs, particularly as it relates to, you know, these demands of technology to be able to compete with their peers, but also to be able to maybe pay more for their talent and to hold on to them for longer. There's also the question of changes to CPA laws. So that's, in a sense, a structural change. If there are those changes, does that have any effect on improving this situation?
And based on what you're hearing, as we look ahead, what factor do you think will be most critical to solving this problem?
I think it comes down to salary. How much are companies willing to pay to lure future generations in to perform this line of work? That seems to be one of the key factors that prospective accountants are evaluating, and it could help further close that gap in time if folks are being compensated at a level that's more aligned with some of these other industries we mentioned.
It's a candid answer that, you know, maybe it's hard for some businesses to hear that. But when I think about, okay, what is going to help enable the ability to make it a competitive salary? It is going to be in terms of the efficiencies then in of what we can drive and how we deliver value to our businesses, not unlike any other role where, you know, when there's more need to pay more for it, we've got to be able to do it more efficiently so that we can afford to pay at those higher levels for what it is that we're in drive people up the value chain so we can pay them more as a result. Now, Mark, I've really appreciated having this conversation with you. Whenever we have a guest on, we do have two rapid fire questions that we like to ask them. So are you ready?
Sure.
What is your go-to strategy for staying productive during the workday?
It's good to mix it up and not just sit at your desk for 9 hours. And I'll go to the conference room. I'll go to a meeting with someone outside of the office. I'm trying to keep moving.
It's always good to do that. We can sit way too long in the day in a chair, which is never good. The second one is, what helps to turn a bad day around for you?
Usually, like, achieving a goal can make my day better. So even if things aren't going great, if I'm able to talk to a new source, for example, that's a win. Like, I can cover my beat more effectively. The more folks that I talk more, the more knowledgeable, insightful people like yourself that I get to talk to.
Mark, thank you so much. It's great to have you on the show. And I love that we get to hear your experiences because you get to talk to so many companies and firms and see what's really happening and write about it. And so I really appreciate you sharing those insights with our listeners today.
Thank you, Melissa.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more on this topic, sign up for our free newsletter, where each week you'll get a roundup of exclusive resources designed to help you grow your leadership skills and drive strategic transformation across your business. Visit thecfoshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For The CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.